Welcome back, everybody. This is Miguel Gonzalez. Thank you for joining us again this week. You're watching Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. Once again, thank you for joining us. We are going to start the second to last principle on this series we've been working on. We've entitled The Pursuit of Christ. Last week we ended the principle of service or serving, and today we're going to start looking at the principle of abiding. There are several points that I want to make. I'm pretty sure that it's going to take probably a minimum of two messages to get through this principle, perhaps even three, but at least two. We're going to look at a number of different passages throughout the New Testament and even the Old Testament. Again, the principle of abiding. But before we start, let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray that you would speak to us loudly and clearly. May the Spirit open the eyes of our hearts and our minds so that we may take in what it is you have to say to us. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the principle of abiding. I remember recently reading a story in a book, and it kind of illustrates how Christians perceive the Christian life differently. I think it was a good illustration that helps make that point. The story went something like this. There was a couple in a restaurant having dessert, and there was a gentleman in a table maybe, you know, some distance away from this couple. He noticed that as she ate her dessert, she seemed to be enjoying it very much. The expression on her face really shouted out, you know, this stuff is delightful. I love it. I am thoroughly enjoying it. And then as he started paying attention to the gentleman, he noticed that every time he took a bite, the expression on his face was completely opposite of what he had seen on the lady. Instead of him showing expressions of delight and enjoyment, he kind of, you know, it was almost hard for him to take every bite of the dessert he was eating. The gentleman was finishing his meal. When the waiter came around, he told him, "I'm going to have dessert, but I've been noticing that couple down there. I want to order whatever it is that she's eating. She seems to be thoroughly enjoying her dessert. I do not want what he's eating. He seems to not like it at all." Well, the waiter kind of looked at him somewhat puzzled and said, "They're both eating the same dessert." And I think that helps illustrate how we as Christians perceive the Christian life. By that I mean this. Think about this. And I don't, you know, in using this terminology, I'm not minimizing or making light of anything. But all Christians, when you came into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, when you were saved, when you were born again, when you became a child of God by virtue of your relationship to Jesus, when we were all made children of God by virtue of our relationship with Jesus, we were all given the same thing. We have all received, in a matter of speaking, the same dessert. But we all seem to have different expressions on our face as we live out that Christian life. I have no doubt in my mind that you have come across Christians who can't seem to stop smiling all the time, who are happy, who are joyful, who are bubbly, in spite of the circumstances of life. Things are well. I know for a fact that you, as I, have also come across Christians who, in spite of how good things may be, how well the circumstances may be, they just have an expression on their face as if it said, this Christian thing, I'm not enjoying it. What's the difference? What is the difference? We have all received the same thing. We have all been given the same blessings. We have all received the same salvation. We have all become adopted children of God. We have all received eternal life. We have been all given all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have all the riches of God's glory as our possession. We have, for that matter, God Himself in us. Yet some walk around as if they get it, and others as if they don't. Well, I think the whole thing revolves around the principle of abiding. And I think we talked about this a little bit maybe last week, if not the week before. It is all about relationship. It's all about, listen, one of my favorite words when I talk about Christianity is consistency. You aren't perfect. You will sin from time to time. You will fall. You will stumble. You will fail. But that is the exception to the rule, or should be the exception to the rule in your life. Christianity is about consistency. It's about understanding that in and of myself, I can accomplish nothing. Not little, nothing. I contributed nothing to my own salvation. I will contribute nothing to my sanctification in terms of me being able to, in and of myself, produce the fruit that God desires to see in me. It's all revolving around the principle of abiding. We looked at this passage, it may have been last week or the week before, but I want to spend a little more time looking at it because it doesn't only talk about service, it talks about abiding, and that's John chapter 15. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. Listen to what Jesus says. Listen to, don't just hear what Jesus says. Listen to what he says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And I believe this is the verse we looked at previously. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Listen, the common denominator about our role as Christians in this whole process of sanctification, listen, it's really not that complicated. And it's so simple sometimes that we miss it completely. It's not that complicated. According to Jesus, we have a specific role in this process we call sanctification. You know what that role is? Abiding. Listen, if you will, listen, it's not a question as to whether you're a Christian or not, because Jesus himself said, you're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. It's not a question as to whether you are related to him or have been born again or are saved or have been forgiven of your sins. It's a question of how you perceive and live out the Christian life for the remainder of the days that you're granted by God. It's all about abiding. Listen, he says nothing about going out and getting busy. He says nothing about anything other than, and did you catch it several times? If you abide in me and I in you, if you remain in me and I in you, it's all about abiding. If you want to experience success of a Christian, and listen, success to a Christian looks very differently than success to somebody who doesn't know Jesus. I mean, if you want to see the difference, just look at what success looks like to those who don't know Jesus and look at this chaotic world in which we live. That's success. Yeah. I'm going to say this at the risk of maybe being misunderstood, but recently I was watching the news and I shared this with some folks that the issue with the governor or the former governor of New York, where he was having affairs with prostitutes, and they finally caught up with the one that apparently he either last saw or had been seen for a number of occasions, and they interviewed her, and I couldn't help but almost fall over when I heard her say on national television that she felt that she was literally on top of the world. Because to her, success meant having an expensive apartment in an expensive city. It meant being able to travel all over the world. It meant being able to wear designer clothes and designer shoes and have a designer pocketbook and all these things. But what caught me off guard when she first said this was that, does it dawn to the people who are watching her say this that for her to have all the things that she thinks put her on top of the world, she's had to do it by prostituting herself? That's success. She felt that she was on top of the world. Yet in the process, what she had to do was that to get there. It's very different for us. Success is something completely different for the Christian. Success is about how well we represent Christ while on earth. Success is about how well and how consistent and how constant we are in our walk and fellowship with Him. How success for the Christian is defined on how close I've become to Him that it's difficult for some to distinguish now between Him and me. Not because I've become Him, but because He has taken so much of me that you see Him more than you see anything else. I've become less, He's become more. Success, folks, it's about experiencing life as God had originally designed it for humanity to experience. It's about receiving the blessings from God and living a life that brings Him glory. Does it sound boring and mundane to you? Then I would have to probably suggest that you would think that way because you have never entered into a personal relationship with Him. If you know Jesus, it's all about living for Him. But it has to do with dependence, total dependence on Him. Listen, if we're going to successfully abide, we're going to have to understand that abiding is a result successful abiding is a result of total dependence on Him. I want to look at another passage real quickly. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Many of you know this passage well. Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. That is dependence. Paul, you know how much Paul accomplished for the glory of God and in his service to humanity, to mankind? He is the greatest of all Christians. He turned the world upside down for Jesus. And you know how he did it? Through Christ, who gave him the strength to do it. You know what Paul was depending on in order to accomplish everything he did for God? He was depending on Christ. And how was he going to receive the strength to do everything he did? By abiding, by remaining in him, and by Christ remaining in Paul. Listen, if we are going to successfully live the Christian life and experience sanctification as it's been designed for us to experience, we must understand that we must be fully, totally dependent on Him. Now let's look at the necessity of abiding. Back to John chapter 15. Now I'm going to look at verse 6. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Why do I need to abide in Christ? Why is it that I need to be totally dependent on Him? Because if I am not, I will not bear fruit. And if I don't bear fruit, I'm going to be cut off the vine. And once I'm cut off the vine, I'm going to be thrown into the fire. Now that doesn't mean I'm losing my salvation. It means that I'm useless for God and He has no need to keep me here. And that should break our heart. You would say, well, if He takes me, He takes me home sooner. If we think that way, there are bigger issues than just the fact that we may not be fully dependent and abiding in Him. We should count it and should want God to give us a long life in this earth so that we may be able to serve Him for all that time and bring Him glory. I don't want to be taken home before my time because I was not abiding, I was not depending, and I was not producing. That's not the right reason for not being left on earth to bring glory to God. Look, for example, a correlating passage, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 10. Matthew 3 and verse 10. These pages are sticking here. Listen to what it says here. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Listen. How much fruit are you producing? How good does that fruit look? Does it taste well to the people around you? Or are we those who fail to produce because we fail to abide, because we fail to depend? And are we those that cause people not to go to church because if that's what a Christian looks like, they want no part of it? Listen. Are you the one they come to when the chips are down? Or are you the laughingstock of the office? Not because you're a Christian, but because you claim to be a Christian, but look no different than the rotten stuff. Listen, another, I want to go now to chapter 7 of Matthew and verse 19. Listen to what Jesus said. Again, every tree that does not bear good fruit. Listen, God is going to deal with his children who failed to produce any fruit whatsoever. It should break our hearts to know that we're disappointing God by not doing the things that bring him glory, and by not doing those things because it's what our heart desires to do, again, because of who he is and because of what he has done. Do you understand, if you're a Christian, for that matter, if you're not a Christian, do you understand what it is that Christ has spared you of by dying for you? You know what? We don't. Because we can't conceive hell. But let me tell you something, folks. If hell is that big that we can't even conceive what it is, then that should give you an insight into what it is that God has spared you of if you're a Christian, and what he wants to spare you of if you're not. We don't have a lot of time, so this is probably actually going to turn out to be a little bit of a longer study. But listen, in terms of fruit bearing, and fruit bearing that real fruit bearing, not what you think fruit bearing is, not man-made works, not man-made results, not man-made empires, not man-made megachurches, not man-made anything. Real fruit. Fruit, listen, for that matter, not even fruit that you produce, but fruit that God produces through you because of your dependence and abiding, is produced by him as you give him opportunity to do so through your complete, constant, consistent, daily walk with him. Now, in the next message, there's a lot we want to look at, but I want to look at what it takes to bear fruit and talk a little bit about reflecting God's glory as a result of this whole principle of abiding. Listen. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus, God the Son, made a deliberate decision to leave the glories of heaven, to leave his throne, in order to come into this world to be crucified by sinners, so that those very sinners might be saved and be forgiven of their sins. That's us, folks. What are you doing about this Jesus and about what he has done for you? You want to experience real life? Let yourself meet Jesus. Well, we've come to the end of this message. Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word. And we pray that you would produce lots of fruit in us that would bring you honor and glory, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen.